Hey, welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is August 14th, 2018.
Oh gosh, it's just going so quickly.
Zipping by here. It is. I've turned in my Harvard summer school. I have not turned in my Harvard summer school grades.
Oh, so you're all okay.
If you're one of my students, don't call me.
You could still buy them a beer. No.
No.
Oh, right. They're underage, aren't they?
They're not all of them.
Oh, all right. No. But you can't do it. You can't bribe them.
That's right. Can't do that. Okay. Right. And then, you know, back to the MIT job in I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, busy guy.
Yeah. So, anyway, life goes on.
Yep.
So, let's see. A few things maybe to mention this week that relate to things we talked about a bit last week.
Right. And then we talked about, if you didn't watch or listen, the EMF building.
Right. So, okay. So, the electromotor force building, or EMF building.
Do you want to show it to remind people what it is?
Yeah, yeah. We could do that here. Actually, I'm going to try the new fancy way.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
There we go. Oh, that was quick. Look at that.
Yeah, well, actually, if you click on them, they actually go to the individual pictures.
There it goes.
So, anyway, so the Cambridge Historical Commission had a meeting this past Thursday, and on their agenda, I think top of the agenda, was a petition for landmarking of this building, which has been sort of the subject of some controversy because the building was purchased a couple of years ago. There have been some artists and musicians, primarily musicians, I think, in the building.
For many years.
About 10 or 12 years, I think.
At least.
And so they're out now. And I think by most accounts, including theirs, probably will never be back in that building.
No.
But they did then, sort of as a parting shot, file a petition for the landmarking of the building. Right?
So, you want to just go back to us?
Yeah, we'll go back to us. Yeah.
Oh, you see that wipe? That was nice.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm learning technology.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's amazing. So, for a guy that doesn't have a cell phone.
Yeah. You know, what can I say? I'm a Luddite.
No, you're not. You have an iPad.
That's true.
Anyway, go ahead.
Wait, you weren't supposed to tell people that. No.
Facebook page and Twitter.
Okay,
so.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, so anyway, the as a kind of a parting shot, they filed this petition, and I don't know where the odds were on what was going to happen at the Historical Commission, but the current building owner, John DiGiovanni, was there, and various of these musicians who sort of hate his guts were there, and the Historical Commission voted to initiate what they call a landmark study. That doesn't mean anything's been landmarked. And in fact,
that was a decision that was made?
That was the decision that was made.
Oh, wait, they already did that. We talked about that last week.
No, because it didn't happen until Thursday.
But wait a minute, where did I see all those historical references then to the building?
That's what's curious.
Yeah.
We actually showed last week some pieces of
report.
It was a communication that was to the commission.
Yeah.
Right? So there's the staff of the Historical Commission, and then there's the board, the Historical Commission, which is an appointed board.
Right.
So there was this information given to the commissioners to help them in their decision-making, right? Whether to initiate the landmark study.
It was definitely done
by the same people who will be doing the landmark study.
Oh, okay.
So it went to them, and they, a little bit surprisingly to many, and there were some sort of heavy hitters sort of showed up arguing about the need for this landmarking, and they actually voted to initiate the study. Now, of course, the only only body who can actually landmark it is the City Council.
Oh.
So the thing is, so now the Historical Commission will do a full-blown study, a little bit more than the whatever.
So they're going to spend more time on landmarking, even though...
You know, it's funny, rumors, you know, it's like amateurs galore here, basically saying, well, now this will delay any disposition of the building until for another year. You go, well, that's not true.
It just means it's just going to stay empty for a while.
For a bit longer, right? Certainly. The Historical Commission will probably take what they already began when they were doing the study.
I hope they're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because it's already there. It seemed clear that it had gone through so many changes that it really wasn't historical anymore.
I would be kind of shocked if they came back with a recommendation that it said to landmark it.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, if it then goes to the City Council and they have to make a decision, they may act politically. It's been known to happen.
Please, no.
Well, you know, I really want to see some sort of facility made available maybe right in the heart of Central Square for musicians, like
studios.
I would
love to see that, but it's not going to be this building.
Inexpensive access to recordings of studios, practice space.
Besides which, if it was landmarked, don't you then are constrained by what you can do to it to make it?
That's the stupidity, and I have to use that word of it.
Yeah.
If you landmark it, the only thing you can really preserve is the exterior of the building, which is crap.
Is awful.
It's crap. Right. And as far as what goes on inside there, I guess that could constrain if you want to put in luxury condos, but you have to retain brick walls or something.
Well, yeah, but it's the outside. They'd have to keep that addition. They'd have to keep the boarding up of the windows. It's just not landmarkable.
It isn't really landmarkable.
I sure hope they don't spend time. There's so many things to spend time on.
I really sincerely want to see some sort of accommodation for people.
Musicians. And
we're not talking about necessarily those particular musicians.
No, but a space.
For aspiring
affordable
young musicians.
Working space, which is a little different.
Space,
this was not living space. People should make that distinction.
Yeah,
too,
so I want to.
That gets into other things.
You know, I really want to see that. And I think there are ways of making that happen. And I hope it's a really serious part of the discussion with the soon to be appointed mayor's arts and music.
Yeah, I would like to see all that retail that they're talking about on the bottom of all these new buildings devoted to that use, because we have so many empty retail now anyway. Why not take something?
You know, maybe that says retail dies on the vine. Maybe some of those ground floor
like working spaces where you have a membership, like Arts Asylum, which is
like
different. That's a whole warehouse.
It's like workspace. So you have
work bar for musicians.
Work bar, right.
But then there'd be noise factors.
Well,
who knows?
Right. So, but you know, insulation.
But there are
works.
Other solutions. Let's put it that way.
Right.
They
so
need to look at that.
That's really what the solution should be, not landmarking this silly building, right?
Please don't spend a lot of time.
Biggest concern, not to obsess on this, is that so if you don't like an individual property owner, and clearly these folks were going up and protesting in Harvard Square because they don't like John DiGiovanni, right?
Trinity Properties,
right. So the thing is now this Cambridge Historical Commission has been drawn into what is it arguably, now I'm sure some people will disagree with me here, but arguably kind of an act of vengeance against the big bad capitalist who took your space away.
Yeah, I think the sign should be landmark, and that could be
actually
somewhere.
The Historical Commission said they would preferably love
like
to see that preserved. And
Or maybe not on that building, but well, I guess you could. It could be the EMF building, but
or
put it on this new space we're hopefully getting.
Yeah, right. But anyway, the upshot is that Historical Commission actually did initiate the landmark study. Some people think it's
going to
take a year, but
it's last week
on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Now. Whether it's going to take a long time or a short time, I don't know. Honestly, I don't think there's that much to research.
Because they did such a thorough job.
They already did all the basic, you know, it's been occupied since its inception, more or less by the same entity until 12 years ago.
Right.
So there's not that much to look up, really. You know, I don't want to break anybody's heart here, but in fact, you could probably do that landmark study in a weekend and be done with it. And,
well, they're not going to do that because then people accuse them of not putting in their due diligence.
All right, so what they're going to do is they're going to try and they will, you know, and I guess this is the one fair case, they'll get some of the people who were involved in the last 12 years to sort of write up a history of what happened over the last 12 years and then have that integrated. Now, they may stall on doing that, not because this Historical Commission can't do that research. They would be dependent on the former
tenants.
They
could give them a deadline.
They should give them a deadline.
Everyone should have deadlines anyway.
Yeah, and then, you know, hopefully by the end of the year, maybe this whole matter can be resolved. But,
I hope
so. And simultaneously, you know, let's get on the stick here. You know, we're talking about a Central Square Arts Overlay District. We've got a mayor's, kind of blue ribbon-esque
arts
task
overlay,
force.
Which is still open for applications.
Open for applications.
Okay.
So
Who would they contact? Just go to the website.
Just contact the mayor's office.
Yeah, mayor's office.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and then that's really how the right solution will get resolved. So,
okay.
So anyway, that's that.
So that's that.
That's that. Now another item we talked about last week, which got resolved, was St. James Place, which is.
To remind people of what.
Right.
That
so
is.
There's the. The church is a church at the corner of Beach and Mass Ave in Porter Square.
Next to the Crapit or whatever car wash.
There was a car wash that kind of wrapped along the side facing
time.
Into Mass Ave, and then there was a parish hall or something behind it.
Well, a pretty big church property. Yeah.
But it's basically been padlocked because it's been deteriorated for
a while.
So the church has been partly restored.
Not because that whole corner, yeah.
Anyway, it's a very activist church congregation. They would love to have a parish hall back.
Yeah.
And so they cut the deal with Oak Tree Development to sort of do a residential development around there. So then it got caught up, and it got its special permits, and it was caught up in litigation. And basically...
For how many years?
Almost 10 years.
Crazy.
Which is ridiculous. If you want to find a nice textbook example of civics gone wrong.
Can I ask something, though, because I did not know about this. Why did is the city have any responsibility in this for letting something go for 10 years? When does the city intervene on this kind of stuff? Or don't they have any right to
intervene? The thing is there, they can...
Because it was two private properties?
Well, the problem is that so the city's, like the planning board grants things like special permits.
Right.
I don't remember if the Board of Zoning Appeals, what role they may have had in this, but the thing is that these bodies are all enabled under Chapter 40, I think, under Massachusetts state law.
Yeah.
And there are appeals processes that are put
in
place.
And it never appears
reason.
Before the city council when
no.
it's on that level?
No. Because one, the city basically passes ordinances, they set up the zoning. Once the zoning is in place, then it's up to the
city. So these people were not they were not submitting a zoning petition. They were raising other issues, or they were suing?
They were raising
other
issues. They disputed the validity of the traffic study that the city had done, or I think the developer had commissioned, but the city accepted
the results.
They
didn't want cars going in and out on Beach Street.
The city preferred that the cars go in and out on Beach Street rather than on Mass Ave. So, there is due process and rights to appeal, whatever.
10 years?
I'll maybe point the hairy finger a little bit at some people in the city, but the thing is, I'll point the hairiest finger at some of the litigants.
Yeah, well, we don't have to name names, but...
Right, but
just
who
go
really
on to,
did
yeah.
not act in good faith here. Mm. And I gotta say, the appeals process, you know, when somebody's trying to do a project and, the money's on the line, and, in fact, your ability to do it economically is going to be affected by appeals processes... There is a place for the courts to make some summary judgments and say, you may proceed on the following potentially valid things, but for the rest, sorry, no. That's settled.
Yeah.
So that you can at least allow a project to start.
But it sounds like on the other side, I'm not blaming just one side. I mean, Oak Tree, maybe they got involved in other projects and just let this go and didn't want to fight it right away. I don't know.
But the thing is that, you know, at the... So I went to the planning board meeting this past... a week ago, Tuesday after the show.
And
almost everybody in the room were actually the congregation from St. James Church.
Wow.
They packed the hall.
Wonderful.
And they, I don't think they're supposed to be carrying signs, but they were little kids carrying signs, saying,
save the church.
You know, give us our permit.
Daycare center,
right?
Or whatever.
Right. Well, no, that was the thing.
There's testimony
from at least one parent who had to take her children to some place blocks and blocks away because she wanted to do it at the church, but she couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so there were consequences to this delay.
So who spoke against it? Anybody?
Michael
the
Brandon.
Usuals?
The usual, yeah. And it turns out it was... I didn't quite understand what the planning board had to do because they granted their special permits a long time ago.
Didn't they have to extend the time?
Apparently that wasn't it. What it was that there was this question about whether the failure to begin the project
was done within, it
went past a certain deadline.
Right.
And the question is that was there, quote, good cause for that. Okay, and of course there was good cause, namely the fact is when you've got litigation and you have no control over, then
you,
it's certainly not your fault. No reasonable person could ever say it was. So it turns out they actually didn't need the approval of the planning board. All they needed was the okay from Ranjit,
the inspectional services.
Because they had all their permits in place, but as Hugh Russell in the planning board said, he tends to be a bit cautious.
Right, so he wants... What's the expression? Yeah, everything by the book.
He's very diligent, and he's really good. And so he wanted to make absolutely sure there wasn't going to be any problems. So he says, I'm ready to sign on the dotted line and give you the building permit to proceed. says, but I would feel happier if, in fact, the planning board could basically just make a judgment to say, we really do feel this is for good cause.
Good.
So it was, there was nothing actionable. In fact, it was one member of the planning board, Nick Bowie, who was sort of from a, because he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
He was he was raising, say, well, why is this even before us? And why should, I feel uncomfortable voting for something where we're not actually the deciding party here at this point.
Interesting.
And then it was the whole debate really centered around whether, like, this is sort of more of a courtesy to people in inspectional services to basically give the blessing of the planning board.
Right.
So when they did it, all the people in the congregation were thrilled. And
Because there's a lot of clapping going on.
I don't remember if it was. I think it was, but they were happy, and I think they were taking group photos out for outside. So anyway, so St. James is going to proceed now.
So in this case, the little people won, even though it looked like it was the big people.
That's right. I mean, you know,
that's funny.
It's like David pretending to be Goliath, pretending to be David.
It's
Oh boy. So anyway, so
good resolution.
Good resolution. I'm sort of, you know, glad things are moving along there.
Yes, so that was St. James.
Another thing we talked about, and this is not such anything particularly actionable, but, you know, we certainly last couple of weeks mentioned about this zoning petition, this Brown Nakagawa petition, you know, that the city council nixed at the mid-city meeting.
The July 30th meeting, right.
But what's actually noteworthy in addition to that was this sort of fallout that's been happening since then.
In what way? Because I haven't followed that.
You sort of have to follow the neighborhood listservs to really, really see it.
Okay, which ones? I don't think I'm on that. I'm not on the Fresh Pine Alliance. Not on the Cambridgeport. Well, no, I am on the Cambridgeport listserv, but sometimes.
All right,
okay, it's the Fresh Pine Alliance.
Now, the Fresh Pine Residents Alliance has a listserv. Right. And I happen to be on that listserv.
Well, you're on all of them, which is good.
You're
on Cambridgeport. Right. Yeah.
And prior to her election, Jan Devereaux was the moderator.
Right.
And after the election, she says she's not the moderator. And
okay,
I believe
her. Who is the moderator?
But somebody is the moderator. And I asked, and they said, well, that's not important. We won't want. And they refused to divulge who the moderator is.
Well, maybe that's within their right. I don't know.
Well, I think I know who the moderator is.
Well, we don't need to do that.
But the funny thing is, this isn't so much about moderation, but it's a matter of the people and the chatter that goes on.
So
now, you know, sort of like it's payback time. Now, don't you know there were 5 councilors who voted to, you know, deep six
we're
calling the climate safety petition, even though in fact 90% of everything that's in it is going to be continuing to be discussed and possibly implemented just in different ways.
Right.
Okay. But it's sort of like, oh, the naming of names, it's quite interesting
they expected.
Right. I mean,
and one they didn't.
I mean, for example, the duplicity of the mayor was one of the comments.
Oh, please.
Right. And it was worse than that. And then it was like, and then I will mention it because it's sort of immaterial to the discussion in a way, but Elon Levy, who was a city council candidate now several times, he wants to throw out the form of government, he's indicting the entire form of government. See, it's the form of government. It's the evil plan E is that responsible for this. And if we had a directly elected mayor, then
as if that wouldn't happen on a direct.
Credit, Quentin Zondervan, who probably has more reason among elected officials to be upset, basically says, come on, Elon, lighten up, will ya?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to have a revolution, okay, we can talk.
No,
but you
Quentin
know.
Is a reasonable person. I don't always agree with his, but he at least approaches things reasonably.
I think he tries to seek consensus.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. Bit of a zealot in his beliefs, certainly.
Right, but,
he
does it quietly
consensus.
And,
But, you know, it's like Sumbul Siddiqui, who I think explained herself perfectly well.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a she.
Oh, I'm sure she's on their list, but you know what?
Oh.
She could care less probably because she was the top vote getter. So
second vote.
Second? Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Simmons was.
Yeah, that's right.
Who voted against?
Right, but the thing is it's almost like you sort of if you read between the lines, it's sort of saying, and now it's time for reprisals. These people, they don't care about the people, you know, don't you know this was all about climate safety? And I'm not so convinced
about
it.
But again, to emphasize, this was not a vote. It would have been died anyway, and everyone acknowledged that. It's just that they wanted to extend it so there could be more discussion.
Right.
But that would have interfered with the
I think it was the housing authorities.
Right.
They're the
they
ones
They wanted
who,
to get it settled.
They
you
basically
can't,
said
right.
that you can say one thing, but the thing is we are...
Bankers and money people
right.
look at
we
what's
the
risk.
We are convinced
right.
that if
yeah.
this lives yeah. on
it
to,
just,
for another day...
And Sumble, who's a lawyer and deals
She's
with...
Lawyer.
Has, and she
right.
said the same thing.
I mean,
they're
the
not going to go into this kind of uncertain situation.
I mean, honestly,
yeah.
I have to say, all 9 city councilors, mm-hmm. to whatever degree anyone made any statements about why they mm-hmm. were voting for or against,
yeah.
made sense. They all
yeah.
expressed themselves well.
Well, they're smart people.
And they,
that's why they're there.
They came
hopefully.
Up with
yeah.
a decision, and the decision mm-hmm. was made, you know? So, you know, the notion that everybody's going to sort of, you know, start pointing fingers after the fact when, in fact... The decision was, you may, even if you disagree, it was reasonable.
So was there any action proposed in this, in these back and forth comments?
There's really not much. I think now some people are pretty much saying, and I think really they have to, that, well, now you pursue other channels. You sort of talk mm-hmm. with the Envision Cambridge folks. You continue to have discussions with the city. Maybe there'll be other petitions that will follow.
And there's some... Have they initiated that task force?
Not
that,
yet, but
okay,
there was
but
a Toomey order that basically said, let's take all of, the good stuff that potentially could be found
and get
in
people
this,
representing
and we'll,
all
and
sides.
And let's have
yeah.
a nice, better discussion about mm. this. So, you know, I think it's not a bad outcome, but, you know, but anyway, I thought it was noteworthy
yes.
about the
okay.
That. I'm going to say a few other quick things about the zoning petitions, because that one failed. Right. So, but there were now 4, count them, 4 other zoning petitions.
Yeah, because there's an ordinance committee coming up.
Yeah, I think
about
there's
one of them about flat roofs.
Thursday. Let's see. Was the flat
week?
Roofs was actually today?
Tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow? The 16th.
No.
No? There's something on the 16th.
Anyway, there's one on the 16th. All
yes.
Right. But the one on the 16th is actually has to do with a Pizzuto petition. It's a
oh you're
a
right.
It was New Street.
New
overlay.
Street
it's
wanting a, to do storage facilities
yeah,
or
yeah.
something.
So
okay, you're right.
Just technical stuff. If you live near
so
New Street, maybe
you
get worked up about
is
it.
Is that one tomorrow? Then?
So I think the yesterday it was actually
was it? Public
it was either
the surveillance was yesterday at 5:30.
I've got my calendar here.
Oh,
like
3 o'clock today was bicycle stuff.
That's right.
So
right.
Wednesday May. I think it's next week, no?
Whenever it was.
I wrote it down.
It was actually, yes, no, the yesterday was surveillance
yeah,
ordinance.
Yeah.
Anyway, whenever it is, so there's one thing about flat roofs,
mm-hmm.
okay? So it was
and
like,
water
and this
or something.
Is, yeah, and then redesigning roofs of buildings and allowing maybe buildings to have a little extra height in order to pitch the roof so you can drain water off. You know, and it's all being cast in terms of a sort of a good climate resiliency type of thing.
Do they
thing,
want
right?
to save the water? What's the point?
Some people are saying doing that.
Or is it just to
right.
avoid leaks? I don't
right.
understand.
There's also the cannabis,
oh.
and there's also one having oh. to do with
right.
accessory apartments. But I just want to say something on the
oh,
flat roofs,
well,
because
yeah.
I have a flat roof.
Right.
I
was
roof.
Just thinking about this. Something happened on your flat roof, right?
Yeah. So now I'm thinking like, hey, wait, I got to start looking at this, right? So we had my roof drain clogged on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed this because the water was raining down into
heavy,
my second floor
rain.
Apartment,
yeah.
so it rained through the third floor.
Ooh, could have caused a fire.
I don't know about causing
well,
a fire, but the thing is,
it
was close to the electrical
yeah.
panel. So, but the thing is that there is some jeopardy that you're in when you have a flat roof triple
yes.
decker, and putting in a different system to allow rainwater to get out of there other than just going down the street, the central pipe. Might not be a bad thing.
But
so,
is that required? Does that mean that everyone would be required
no,
to
no
do that?
No requirement at all.
Okay.
It just would give you options.
Okay,
so,
well, that's what I like, options, rather than the other petition. It was like required. It's like half the houses.
That's right. Well, the climate...
Half the houses would not
you know, my,
be performing. Yeah.
Among other objections, the
yeah.
so-called climate safety petition,
yeah.
it was very prescriptive,
yeah.
proscriptive, prescriptive... Restrictive, sure
right.
it was restrictive.
It was very
it says you
dictatorial.
Will do this, you will do that. You know, they did exempt two and three family houses though, by the way, I give them that much. But the thing is that they pretty much said this is the way everything must be, and that's that, and that's that, and it would have been pretty hard on a lot of people, I think.
Mm.
But anyway, I'm actually kind of warming up to this one about giving some options for the roofs. I'm thinking about putting in what they call canales.
But why wouldn't you have been able to do that on your own anyway? Why do you need a change?
If you need to, if you need to increase the height of a building, let's say, in order to accommodate it.
Then involves a permit or something?
Well, you might need a variance. So the thing is that if you want to...
This would eliminate that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, there's what they call the weekender. The weekender is where you get somebody, you go up there on the weekend, you just do it. And you know what they say.
Which I'm sure a lot of people have done stuff.
No whistle, no foul,
right? Yeah.
You know, no, right? I can look out my kitchen window and I can see structures that were put onto rooftops over a weekend.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, it happens. Yeah. You know. But I think it's a good idea.
Anyway, yeah.
So, again, don't want to obsess on
zoning. Go to the hearing schedule on the city website or go to Robert's website.
Yeah,
you can see all the... There's something on the 23rd.
Yeah, the city council's dance card is starting to fill up a little bit, but honestly, not that much. You know, they don't really have that much. I think they have four...
Well, see, considering there's no official meeting till the 17th because of Labor Day and Rosh Hashanah, although I have to say Rosh Hashanah is over at sunset. They could have had the meeting.
Yeah,
that day.
Well, they did public safety today.
Yes.
They're going to do the ordinance committee on New Street petition on Thursday.
Right there.
And don't forget the old-time baseball game. We'll talk more about that next half hour then.
Right.
And let's see, we also have... September 12th, which is still a ways away.
There's
back-to-back. Okay. Transportation and Public Utilities is going to talk about electric scooters.
And that's going to be televised,
That's going to be televised.
It's helpful when it's televised, because then you can catch it like
that. Yeah, and then that's at 1 o'clock, and then at 4 o'clock, stick around. It's a doubleheader.
Retail strategy report, which is not televised.
That's right, with economic development.
But that report is out somewhere. You can find it.
And there's one more, a new one showed up. It was Transportation and Public Utilities on September 20th. And this is on the topic
Thursday.
It's funny on the hearing schedule. It's contradictory. It says calling for reducing the speed limit to 20 miles per hour citywide, and the creation of 20 mile per hour safety zones on certain streets.
That's confusing.
Total contradiction, right?
All right.
You're either going to do 20 miles per hour citywide.
You know, 20 is fast enough. I have been watching that stuff, and you don't need to go 25. You really don't. Not in cities.
Except that if in fact you know for a fact everybody's going to go 25 and change.
Well, that's the problem.
Then it
people
just
go 65 in a 55 mile zone. So. Yeah. All right. See you next.
Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.